and welcome back to Weird on the Rocks. This is a podcast that explores the weird, unusual, strange, and unexplained, all while getting our drink on. I'm your host, Katie. Before I get going at all today, I just want to say real quick that I know that the world feels really heavy right now. There's a lot going on, and there are a lot bigger things going on than an episode of a podcast that's for sheer entertainment. And I know that. And I'm not going to get political in here, but I just want you all to know that my heart is with all of you, no matter what you're going through, and that I stand with the Black community and all my listeners who are people of color. And I hope that everyone is staying safe right now. I hope that if you're listening, you know, you can just kind of get your mind off of things for an hour or so and allow yourself to kind of disconnect from reality. And I also hope that if you are someone who is using podcasts or movies or books or video games or whatever as a distraction right now from the world, that you can acknowledge your own privilege and know that not everybody is able to just disconnect from what's going on right now. So, yeah, thanks for listening. I hope you're all doing okay right now. All right, so today's episode is going to cover the disappearance of a man named Don Lewis. Unless you've been living under a rock, chances are you've watched or at least heard of the Netflix show Tiger King. This series premiered in March, right when most states were issuing their shelter-in-place orders. So that was a great strategic move by Netflix there. And this show blew up overnight. It got insanely popular. And I think at this point, it's been seen by 30 million people, something like that. This docuseries covers lots of different things, but one of the topics it discusses is the disappearance of Don Lewis in 1997. I'm not going to get into everything that the show Tiger King shows or the show itself. So if you want to know more of a backstory to this episode, you can go watch that show. I'm going to mention people from the show, but I'm creating this episode in a way that will still make sense if you have not seen it as its own separate thing. I'm going to go into some of the information in the series, use some quotes and information from that, but I'm also going to discuss information that the show left out because, surprise, surprise, as with all media, it was definitely biased. So I'm going to kind of show the other side of the story. As with most TV shows and movies, the directors, the producers, the editors, they take a lot of creative liberties with what they choose to include, and they curate something that fits their own opinion and perspective, which isn't always the entire truth. There are always two sides to a story, and sometimes even more than that. And I'm going to try my best to cover all the information that I could find on who Don Lewis was and what could have possibly happened to him. If you've seen Tiger King, this episode might, you know, just solidify your already existing opinion from the show, but who knows? It might also change your mind too. You can find Weird on the Rocks on Facebook and Instagram at Weird on the Rocks Podcast, Twitter at Weird_Rocks, and the website weirdontherocks.weebly.com. Please subscribe wherever you're listening now so you always get the newest episode when it is released. And I also, real quick, want to share another podcast promo. It's been a while since I've done this. This one is from my friends over at the Evil Transgression Podcast. So let's give their promo a listen.
Need a little humor with your murder?
Who doesn't, right?
Join us, Dustin,
Rex,
and Josh
on Evil Transgression.
Evil Transgression is a true crime comedy podcast that covers lesser known cases that haven't been talked about a million times over.
From the most dangerous inmate
to the worst friends
and even death by firing squad.
You can find us on Apple Podcasts,
Stitcher, Podbean,
and all of your favorite podcasting platforms.
All right, before we get into the good stuff, I want to share this week's beverage of choice. Tonight, I'm drinking a watermelon margarita. It's officially June, and it's getting a little bit warmer here in Northern California. And by warmer, I mean like 62. But this cocktail is definitely like the perfect summer drink. It's nice and refreshing. It has tequila, triple sec, simple syrup, lime, and watermelon. And I just blended it all up together in the blender. This watermelon was kind of going bad. So if you have any fruit that's, you know, on its way out, just add some tequila and there you go. Now you're being resourceful and healthy. All right, well, let's get into it. Cheers and let's get weird. Jack Donald Lewis, or Don as he liked to be called, was born on April 30th, 1938 in Dade City, Florida. He had two siblings and they were raised by their single mother who worked as a seamstress and sold fresh bread that she made at home. Growing up, Don worked odd jobs such as being a farmhand to help out his family. He attended Pasco High School and graduated in 1955. He continued to work odd jobs, such as working at a grocery store and being a mechanic. It was at his grocery store job where he was working as a bag boy that he met a girl named Gladys. The two began dating and soon decided to get married. Don was 17 and Gladys was 14. A year later, they welcomed a baby girl. Don was described by many as a ladies' man, and he continued to be very flirtatious with women despite the fact that he was now a married father. Don and Gladys remained in Dade City, Florida, where he began work hauling rock and sand. He eventually was able to buy five of his own hauling trucks and began working for Texaco and Red Wings Carrier in Tampa, Florida. Eventually, he played his hand at appliance repair and began buying old washing machines, fixing them up, and selling them. Soon, this led to auto repair, and Don began buying old cars, restoring them and selling them for a large profit. After a few years of this and two more children, Don moved into real estate and began selling homes and land. He quickly began to accumulate a lot of money and was known as a very successful and motivated businessman. Don's personal business assistant, Ann McQueen, said, quote, "He could step in a pile of cow dung and come out smelling like roses," end quote. And although he was extremely wealthy by this point, Don did not flaunt it. He could always be found in jeans and a t-shirt. He drove old cars and lived a modest lifestyle. However, despite his persona of a smart businessman who happened to get lucky on some good deals, friends close to Don and his wife Gladys say that Don was gaining his wealth in less ethical ways. Apparently, Don was a loan shark. He sold homes to couples who were financially strained at 18% interest, with the deal that if they paid their mortgages on time for 6 months, he would give them the option to buy the property back. If they could not afford their mortgages, he would evict them and sell the property. Through these shady deals, Don eventually owned upwards of 350 properties across five counties in Florida. Alvin Coulter, Don's former business partner, said, quote, "Most people who dealt with him were desperate, but they went in with their eyes open. They were adults when they did it," end quote. Don and Gladys remained married, but Don was not secretive about the fact that he went outside their marriage. In a 1997 interview with the Tampa Bay Times, Gladys said, quote, "Don dated women younger than our daughters. I couldn't compete with that," end quote. She also said that she would pack extra food in Don's lunches for his girlfriends, and that they would send back napkins with lipstick stains on them. In January of 1981, Don was out driving one night when he saw a young woman walking along the street. He pulled over and offered her a ride, to which she declined. Don drove away, then returned with a revolver. He told her that she could point it right at his head the whole time if she would just get in the truck. She agreed and got in. Her name was Carol Murdoch. She had gotten into a fight with her husband, Michael, and left the house because he was getting violent, something that happened often. Carol held the gun to Don's head, and they drove around and talked for hours. Eventually, they went to a hotel where they spent the night together, and soon after, they began a secret affair. Don was 42, and Carol was 20. Carol, whose maiden name was Stair Jones, was born on the Lackland Air Force Base in Texas in 1961. She grew up in a strict Christian home where she says money was always scarce. At a young age, Carol became interested in animals, especially cats. She had a dream of becoming a veterinarian until she learned that vets have to euthanize animals. At the young age of 14, Carol said that she was raped by three men who lived across the street from her. She told her conservative parents, who did not take her story seriously and believed that women were to blame for sexual assaults. Soon after, Carol dropped out of high school and left home, spending the next few years hitchhiking around. She eventually bought a truck, which she lived in for a period. At the age of 17, Carol found a job at a department store. It did not pay enough to get by, so she started rescuing and breeding bobcats on the side, as well as purchasing llamas to hire out for lawn trimming services. At this department store job, Carol began dating her boss, Michael Murdoch, and soon she moved in with him. Carol was now back in contact with her family, who disapproved of her living with Michael out of wedlock, so the two of them got married when Carol was 18. Carol soon became pregnant and gave birth to their daughter, Jamie, in July of 1980, when Carol was 19 years old. The night that Carol met Don, her and Michael had been fighting, and she threw a potato at him and left the house in fear of him becoming violent. After getting picked up by Don on the street and spending the night with him, the two of them began a long affair. Carol began helping Don with his real estate ventures, which were extremely successful. Don and Carol also began dabbling in the business of buying and breeding big cats. Carol loved big cats, such as tigers and lions, and Don saw that they could be a profitable business. In 1991, after a 10-year affair, Carol and Don divorced their spouses and married each other. Don and Carol continued their interest in big cats and animal rescue, and in 1992, they bought their first bobcat that was going to be killed for its fur. They quickly began amassing more animals, and in 1993, they bought 56 big cats, including bobcats and lynx, and continued buying 20 to 30 animals every year after. Carol, who was once an advocate against breeding of exotic animals, was now making a living doing the very same thing, all under the guise of saving and rescuing the animals. In 1995, Don and Carol purchased their first tiger and opened their own business called Wildlife on Easy Street. This was considered a nonprofit organization with the purpose of, quote, acquisition, shelter, feeding, breeding, and socialization of exotic and non-exotic animals, public education and awareness to benefit their wild counterparts, end quote. One of the main goals of the park was to end the ownership and trade of exotic animals in the private sector. Carol and Don operated under the illusion of having rescued all the animals from unfit situations, when in reality, most of them were actually bought at exotic animal auctions and then they were bred. Carol continued to be the face of the organization, dealing with the public and acting like the doting and compassionate big cat lover, while Don handled the financial side of things. During their marriage, Carol admits that Don was not faithful to her, and she knew that he was seeing other women. Around this time, Don began visiting Costa Rica on a monthly basis. He claimed that these visits were real estate related, and he did own 200 acres of land in the country. He owned a small airplane and would fly there himself. Carol said that she was aware of Don having a girlfriend in Costa Rica, and that he would often schedule his visits there for when Carol was menstruating. Don also started getting involved with the exotic animal trade in Costa Rica, where there were no regulations regarding how many big cats a person could own or what types of conditions they needed to be kept in. Don wanted to move their business to Costa Rica and operate it solely from there, but Carol was against the idea, which caused marital problems. According to some close family and friends, Don was very open about the fact that he wanted to move the business to Costa Rica. In July of 1997, Don issued a restraining order against his wife, Carol. The document says, quote, "This is the second time Carol has got angry enough to threaten to kill me. I was away from the house and she gave two junk men permission to come on my property and remove trucks and equipment that I had stored there that a man owed me $17,000 on. When I found out the man that owned the equipment had to call sheriff to make them stop. When I got back, me and Carol got in a big fuss. She ordered me out of the house or she would kill me, and if I came back, she would kill me. She has a .45 revolver and she took my .357 and hid it. I have owned my home and land for 17 years and we have only lived there for 3 years. I have a lot of equipment and animals and cats there," end quote. However, soon after filing the order, Dawn redacted it. Dawn and Carol continued to live together and run their business as usual. Around this time, close family and friends and colleagues of Dawn's, including his lawyer and ex-wife Gladys, said that he talked a lot about wanting to divorce Carol. He supposedly said that she was dangerous and that he was afraid of her. He also gave an envelope to his assistant, Anne McQueen, and said that if anything happened to him, to give it to the police. It was a copy of the redacted restraining order. 2 months after the restraining order, on August 18, 1997, Dawn Lewis disappeared. Carol reported him missing the next afternoon of August 19th. She explained that Dawn was planning a trip to Costa Rica, and the last thing he told her was to get a truck ready because he was leaving early the next morning to ship some cars down there. Dawn's van was found at the local airport, but Dawn and his airplane were nowhere to be found. Inside the van were Dawn's keys and briefcase. The police pulled all passenger manifests from the airport, which showed that Dawn was not on any type of plane that day, private or commercial, and there was no evidence of his plane leaving the airport or of him stopping for fuel. Carol explained that Dawn had several unregistered planes and that he didn't even have a pilot's license. She said that he liked to fly very low over the Gulf of Mexico, where radar could not detect him, and that it's possible that he could have flown without a trace. After his disappearance, Carol did several interviews with local TV stations in which she was visibly emotional and saying that Dawn had been acting strangely in the months leading up to his disappearance. She claimed that he was showing the early signs of Alzheimer's and was often confused. Through tears, she said, quote, "Maybe he doesn't know who he is," end quote. However, those close to Dawn say that he never showed signs of deteriorating mental or physical health. In the months following Dawn's disappearance, the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department visited the Wildlife on Easy Street location, where they claimed to have found no evidence of foul play. They also traveled to Costa Rica looking for Dawn, but he was nowhere to be found, and his connections in the country said he hadn't visited in several months. Searches were also conducted over the Gulf of Mexico, but no body or airplane debris was ever found. In the wake of Dawn's disappearance, new details about him and his wealth became public. While many knew that Dawn did have money, it was revealed that he was actually worth millions of dollars. While the exact amount varies depending on who you're talking to, his lawyer and assistant both believe that Dawn left behind an estimated $5 to $7 million. By 2002, 5 years after Dawn disappeared without a trace, he was legally confirmed dead. With Dawn now legally considered dead, his will and other legal documents were allowed to be read. It was discovered that in November of 1996, 9 months before his disappearance, Dawn drew up a power of attorney document and a new will. The power of attorney stated that Carol would be given the power of attorney, where his assistant, Anne McQueen, had held the power previously. And perhaps one of the most odd details of this story, his will left behind everything to his wife, Carol, and said specifically, quote, "in the event of my death or disappearance," end quote. Dawn's own lawyer, Joseph Fritz, who had not seen the will before, said that in all his years of practicing law, he had never seen a will that mentioned anything about disappearing, and that it was extremely odd language to use. In 2002, the same year Dawn was considered dead, Carol's new boyfriend, Jay Bakels, filed a restraining order against her. The document said, quote, "On the phone and at home, the respondent told me she will kick my ass out of there whatever it takes. I honestly fear I am in danger of death or serious bodily injury because her prior husband is missing and presumed dead. One day she said to me when I asked her, 'What happens if your husband shows up now?' Her response was, 'Dead bodies cannot talk.' Her former husband's daughter told me she could be dangerous and to watch my back. Respondent carries 2 guns loaded, always in her truck, 1 in her residence. She said she was a suspect in her husband's disappearance. Recently, 3 to 4 days ago, she told me human bones were found near Lazy Days RV Center. She said she hopes it's not on her property or she will be in deep shit," end quote. While nothing legally came of this, it made those close to Dawn become increasingly suspicious of Carol and her erratic behavior. While Carol maintained her claim that she had no involvement in Don's disappearance, his will, his concern about being afraid of Carol before he disappeared, and the fact that Carol was now exhibiting violent behavior towards her new boyfriend only solidified the fact that many close to Don believed Carol was responsible for his disappearance. Later in 2002, Carol and her boyfriend Jay had broken up, and she met Howard Baskin at an animal rights organization fundraiser. The two immediately began a relationship, and Howard joined Carol's business, which was now called Big Cat Rescue, as the chairman of the advisory board. And in 2004, the two were married. Big Cat Rescue continued to operate as a self-defined animal sanctuary that was open to the public. Carol considered herself an animal rights activist and spoke out against private zoos for their mistreatment of big cats and exotic animals. By 2010, Carol was aware of a man named Joseph Maldonado Passage, or Joe Exotic, as he liked to be called. Joe was a unique and very outspoken man who owned and operated the Greater Wynwood Exotic Animal Park, or the GW Zoo, in Wynwood, Oklahoma. Joe referred to himself as the most prolific tiger breeder in the United States and made his money from his zoo as well as public events that included traveling around with tigers and other big cats. These events often took place in malls and at fairs and allowed people to get to pet baby tigers and take their photos with them for a hefty price. Carol did not approve of Joe's business ethics and believed that he was mistreating his animals and breeding them just for show, then not taking proper care of them once they were no longer babies and could not bring in lots of money. Carol influenced her followers to contact the malls in which Joe was holding his events and to let them know that he was involved in animal abuse. Their plan was successful, and malls began turning Joe away in fear of being connected to animal abuse allegations. Joe, in return, began a crusade against Carol and her loyal followers. This included making and posting videos of him verbally attacking Carol and making violent threats against her. And one of Joe's favorite things to bring up was the fact that Carol's husband Don had gone missing and that he believed that she murdered him. His allegations ranged from believing Carol put Don into a meat grinder, that she fed him to her tigers, dumped him in the water, and buried him under her septic system. Eventually, the videos escalated to a point where Joe was threatening to kill Carol, including a video where he dressed up a blow-up doll like her and shot it in the head. Joe, who sang country music, also created a music video to his song, Here Kitty Kitty, in which he hired a Carol lookalike to pretend she was feeding Don's body to her tigers. Joe's public war against Carol began to stir up the old rumors that Carol was in fact responsible for Don's disappearance and that she had actually murdered him. Joe and his followers also contacted the Hillsboro Sheriff's Department, which pressed them to re-examine the case. In 2010, law enforcement took DNA samples from Don's grown daughters and granddaughter in case remains were ever found and they would have DNA to compare them to. And they also asked Carol to take a polygraph test, which she declined. Carol issued several statements saying that the notion of her being involved in Don's disappearance was ridiculous. In 2011, Joe began using the name Big Cat Rescue, the same name of Carol's animal sanctuary, on his websites and in promotional material. In return, Carol sued him for copyright infringement, and he was ordered to pay her $1 million for damaging her reputation. Joe had to file for bankruptcy and began selling all of his possessions. Of course, this settlement only fueled Joe's very public hatred of Carol. Joe was afraid that Carol was going to take his zoo from him, so he partnered up with a man named Jeff Lowe, who was also involved in big cat breeding, and transferred the zoo into Jeff's name. In 2017, with the war between Carol and Joe still raging, Joe began soliciting people to kill Carol Baskin. He had used Google Earth to research her home and sanctuary property, devising several plans on how to kill her, including shooting her while she was taking her evening bike ride around her property. One of the people involved in the plan was named James Gerritsen, who was working with the FBI as an informant. The FBI had been investigating Joe and his zoo for several months regarding animal abuse and neglect allegations. Eventually, James Gerritsen was able to record a conversation between Joe and an undercover agent whom he believed to be a hitman, where Joe offered the man $3,000 to kill Carol Baskin. This evidence sealed the deal on the investigation the FBI had been conducting, and they now had enough to charge Joe with multiple convictions. All in all, Joe was charged with 2 counts of hiring someone to murder Carol Baskin, 8 counts of violating the Lacey Act for falsifying wildlife records, and 9 counts of violating the Endangered Species Act for killing multiple tigers and moving exotic animals across state lines. He was sentenced to 22 years in prison and currently is at a prison medical center in Fort Worth, Texas, in self-isolation due to the coronavirus. In 2020, Netflix released the docuseries Tiger King. While the show focused mainly on Joe Exotic and his wildlife, it also included the feud between Joe and Carol, and his claims that she was responsible for her husband Don's disappearance and death. The show included numerous clips of Joe discussing how crazy Carol Baskin was, and that there was no doubt in his mind that she killed Don, and he believes she chopped him up and fed him to her tigers. Carol agreed to be part of the docuseries as well, which included many interviews with her and her husband, Howard, and it discussed her life and the disappearance of Dawn. She remained adamant that she had nothing to do with it and that it was ludicrous to think otherwise. Carol most likely agreed to the Netflix show because she believed it was going to highlight how crazy and unstable Joe Exotic was and how inaccurate the claims against her were. But the show had the opposite effect. It was released at the end of March in 2020 and blew up literally overnight. Instead of blame and criticism being put on Joe, the attention online seemed to be more focused on Carol Baskin and the acceptance of the fact that she absolutely must have killed her husband, Don. Overnight, there were hundreds of memes, videos, and photoshopped images all over the internet, making light of the situation and claiming that Carol Baskin was guilty of murder. As with most content put out into the public, people began to take it as truth and believed all of the information spoon-fed to them by the documentary makers. On Carol's website, bigcatrescue.org, in a post from May 13, 2020, she said, quote, "When the directors of the Netflix documentary Tiger King came to us 5 years ago, they said they wanted to make the big cat version of Blackfish, the documentary that exposed abuse at SeaWorld, that would expose the misery caused by the rampant breeding of big cat cubs for cub petting exploitation, and the awful life the cats lead in roadside zoos and backyards if they survive. There are not words for how disappointing it is to see that the series not only does not do any of that, but has had the sole goal of being as salacious and sensational as possible to draw viewers. As part of that, it has a segment devoted to suggesting, with lies and innuendos from people who are not credible, that I had a role in the disappearance of my husband Don in 1997. The series presents this without any regard for the truth, or in most cases, even given me an opportunity before publication to rebuke the absurd claims. They did not care about the truth. The unsavory lies are better for getting viewers." End quote. So did the docuseries simply present the facts that were there, and Carol is scared that the truth of her murdering Don is going to be exposed? Or did something else happen to Don, and Carol Baskin really is innocent? The consensus among those who believe that Carol killed Don is that she did it for his money. Carol came from an unstable background and a family that struggled financially. She had big dreams of opening her own exotic animal sanctuary, but didn't have the means to do so. Many believe that her marriage to Don was purely strategic and that she never would have been interested in him if he wasn't wealthy. Don's own ex-wife Gladys was even quoted as saying, quote, "He used to call her angel, and I said, well, she's an angel sent straight from hell and one day you'll find out," end quote. One of the most glaring and odd details from this entire story is the will that Don Lewis left behind. Mention of oneself disappearing in their will is practically unheard of. So why did Don think to add this? Some believe that Don perhaps had a feeling that Carol was going to kill him and stage it as an accident or disappearance. In fact, Don had been telling those close to him that he was afraid of Carol and wanted a divorce from her, but that she wouldn't allow it. And Don wasn't the only man to have these concerns about Carol, as we know that in 2002, her boyfriend also drew up a restraining order against him, claiming that she was threatening his life. Maybe Don knew what Carol was capable of and wanted to cover every possible situation in his will. But this leaves the question, then why leave all of his assets to her? If he really was that afraid of her and suspicious of her motives, wouldn't he have left his wealth to his children and grandchildren instead? Or maybe the will wasn't real at all. On May 18, 2020, handwriting expert Thomas Vastrick spoke to Mississippi's Clarion Ledger publication about the signatures found on both the will and power of attorney. The story was quickly picked up by the New York Times. In their interview, Vastrick claims that the two signatures found on these documents appear to have been traced from Don and Carol's marriage certificate. Although people's signatures are usually fairly consistent from one document to another, there are always minuscule variations, such as spacing. Vastrick claims that the three signatures are identical matches and says, quote, "They're all virtually identical. They're all from a model signature," end quote, referring to the original signature on the marriage certificate. He also goes on to say, quote, "It's not a difficult call," end quote. The Clarion Ledger also sought out the opinion of another handwriting analyst named Willa Smith, who also came to the conclusion that the two signatures are products of tracing. The Hillsborough police had also at one time looked into the possibility of the signatures being forged, and they turned the documents over to the Florida Attorney General's office. But they were not able to investigate as the statute of limitations on forgery had already passed. There is also speculation about who notarized the will. The signature of Sandra Witkop was found on the will. Witkop, who is a notary, was actually Don and Carol's housekeeper at the time, and she recently said in an interview with the Mississippi Center for Investigative Reporting that she has no recollection of ever notarizing a will for Don Lewis. She said, quote, "I don't remember a will at all. I was the housekeeper," end quote. And according to Florida law, notaries do not have to keep records of their acts if they were not done electronically. So there is no evidence of whether or not Witkop actually did notarize the will, or if her signature could also have possibly been traced from another document. However, on Carol's website, bigcatrescue.org, she gives her own explanation of why the will included the mention of disappearance. She says, quote, "Don had told me about people going to Costa Rica and disappearing. Our Costa Rican attorney, Roger Peterson, said the Helicopter Brothers were the local version of the mafia, and Don was loaning them money. That is why I included disappearance as an event that would activate the power of attorney. I am sure attorney Joe Fritz is correct that this is unusual. It made sense in this situation given what I was told by Don and by Peterson about Costa Rica and Don's dealings there at the time," end quote. In my research, I could not find any information on what exactly the Helicopter Brothers is or what it's referring to. There are also some who believe that Carol did not necessarily kill Don for his money, but that she wanted out of a volatile and unhappy marriage. Don was very open about the fact that he had extramarital affairs and had a girlfriend in Costa Rica that he saw regularly. Perhaps Carol was finally fed up with having a lying and cheating husband. Journals of Carol's were confiscated as evidence following his disappearance, and they paint a picture of an unhappy woman trapped in her marriage. In one excerpt, she says, quote, "There's no use to leave him. I wish there was some way out for me," end quote. She also mentions that Don thought she was stealing from him on several occasions and that he had a bad temper. In one entry, she talks about Don accusing her of stealing money, all while she was doing all of his administrative and yard work, saying, quote, "I didn't lash back, but again resigned myself to wait out his evil temper. I listened while he told me that all of the money is his, and everything we have he earned by himself and brought into this marriage by himself. He said there's nothing I'd do for him that he couldn't pay any flunky $350 to $400 a week for. He said that he doesn't trust me and doesn't want to live with me anymore, and that he will furnish me with a place to move out and give me $500 a week to live on. How generous," end quote. So if Carol really did kill Don for either his money, to get out of a bad marriage, or both, how would she have done it? The Tiger King docuseries presents several possible ways in which Carol could have killed Don. One is that Carol murdered him and put his body through a meat grinder. This thought brings up images of large commercial-grade meat grinders used for large animals, when in reality, The meat grinder used at Dawn and Carol's animal park was a very small handheld grinder that was used to grind up meat to feed to the animals. And Hillsboro Sheriff Chad Cronister, who is working on this case, says that the meat grinder wasn't even on the property when Dawn went missing. Some also believe that Dawn was murdered and buried under the septic system on the property. Again, Sheriff Cronister says that the septic system was not installed on the property until several years after Dawn Lewis went missing, so it's not even possible for his remains to be buried underneath it. There are also many who believe that Carol killed Dawn and fed his remains to her tigers. In the show Tiger King, Joe is seen standing in an exhibit with a tiger who is smelling him and getting extremely close. He starts to hit the tiger with his cane, yelling profanities at it, and threatens to shoot it in the head until he is able to get out of the exhibit safely. He then goes on to insist that someone purposely put something on his boots so that the tiger would be attracted to them and want to attack him. Carol is asked about this occurrence, responding to Joe's suspicion that she possibly had something to do with it. And she says, quote, "If someone wanted to kill you, then they would put like sardine oil all over you, something the cat wants to eat, not something the cat wants to drool on," end quote. This interview clip led many to believe that Carol could have possibly just confessed how she killed Dawn, meaning that she knows sardine oil would attract the cats because she had done it before. Many online also point out Carol's seemingly odd behavior and mannerisms anytime she speaks about Dawn. Even as I myself watched Tiger King, I made comments to my husband about how her demeanor seemed to slightly change and her voice would go up and she becomes very giggly and dismissive sounding anytime she talks about Dawn's disappearance. While some believe this is simply because she's uncomfortable talking about such a sad subject, some believe that this is her lying. The Netflix show also provided another odd detail about Dawn's disappearance and Carol's possible involvement, and that is that Carol's brother was a Hillsboro police officer. In fact, the night before Dawn disappeared, Carol went out to the store at 3 a.m. to buy milk for the tiger cubs. While she was out, her car broke down, and she called her brother, who was on duty, to come and help her. After a conversation was had, another on-duty officer ended up giving Carol a ride home. Many point out that her contacting her brother the night before her husband went missing is extremely suspicious and that he possibly could have been helping her out in some way. Perhaps she had already killed Dawn and needed help disposing of the body, and her police officer brother knew exactly what to do without her getting caught. However, Sheriff Chad Cronister said in an interview with Nancy Grace that her brother's whereabouts were known at every point during that night. And quote, "Baskin's brother had asked for one of his other friends, another deputy, to please take her home. Another deputy sheriff did pick her up from the Albertsons and give her a ride back to the animal sanctuary. Any type of theory of cover-up is dispelled when you can track back and see his actions that night were accounted for," end quote. So while the show Tiger King left many with the assumption that Carol Baskin without a doubt killed her husband Dawn, many decided to do their own research after the show ended and found that the filmmakers left some very important information about Dawn out of the show. Was Dawn Lewis truly an innocent businessman who was murdered by his greedy wife, or did something else happen to him? Dawn Lewis was with no doubt a very successful man who disappeared and left millions of dollars behind. His own family members talk about how smart of a businessman he was, and his own daughter says basically everything he touched would turn to gold. However, the show and those close to Dawn remain extremely vague about how he got all this money. As I mentioned before, Dawn worked his way up from machine and auto repair to real estate. According to many sources, Dawn was a loan shark, selling low-income families homes at outrageous interest rates, then selling the homes once they defaulted on their payments. He took advantage of those in bad financial situations and used it to benefit himself. However, many believe that this wasn't the only illegal business that Dawn was involved in, and that he was actually a drug smuggler as well. Dawn visited Costa Rica at least once a month. He had many connections there and owned a lot of property, but it's never been revealed exactly what he was doing there. There are also the facts that Dawn had two passports, flew a small private plane, didn't have a valid pilot's license, and often flew low enough that radar could not pick him up. Dawn's colleague and handyman, Kenny Farr, also says that Dawn had more money than anyone actually knew of, and that he liked to bury money and gold bars. These are all extremely odd things for a normal, law-abiding citizen to do. Dawn's own lawyer, Joseph Fritz, said that Dawn was known to fly directly over the Gulf of Mexico, which is common for drug runners to do because they drop their supply into the ocean where boats can pick it up. There is a theory that Dawn was actually working as a middleman for a drug cartel, and they are responsible for his death. In fact, his lawyer also states in the docuseries that he heard rumors that Dawn was strangled and pushed out of a plane over the Gulf of Mexico. He said, quote, "We heard he got strangled with an electric cord in the back seat and was thrown out over the Gulf. In my working theory, one person was flying the plane and one person was strangling," end quote. In the show Tiger King, they briefly introduce a man named Mario Tabrau, another zoo owner, big cat enthusiast, and former drug kingpin. Tabrau was arrested on racketeering and narcotics charges in 1987. He was known as a kingpin of a $75 million drug operation, which mostly produced cocaine out of Florida, and supposedly was an extremely violent man, and at one time allegedly tried to murder an informant with a machete. He was sentenced to 100 years in prison, but was released in 2000 after serving only 12 years because he acted as an informant himself and tipped the federal authorities off to other drug traffickers and criminals. After being released from prison, he opened his own zoo called the Zoological Wildlife Foundation in Miami. Dawn and Carol's Big Cat Rescue, which was still known as Wildlife on Easy Street at the time, was huge. It was located near an airfield and was registered as a nonprofit, all components that could make it very viable for drug trafficking. Florida, which is where the park was located, was also the country's largest drug trafficking state, with most cocaine coming in through Miami. Cocaine use and distribution during this time was rampant, and it was practically everywhere. It is believed that Mario Tabrau used his big cat business to smuggle drugs into the country. So perhaps Dawn Lewis was doing the exact same thing, either in partnership with Tabrau or on his own. Some speculate that Dawn worked for Tabrau and something went wrong, causing him to be killed. Perhaps he wanted to start his own operation, was skimming money off the top, or took some of the supply for himself. Or perhaps Dawn saw the success that Tabrau and his cartel were having and decided to dip his toe in the drug trafficking business. But Tabrau, who had monopolized on the business, decided to do away with his competition. Some believe that Dawn's death was purposely made to look like a disappearance, and some even go as far as to believe that they purposely framed Carol. Some also point to the fact that the criminal investigation behind Dawn's disappearance wasn't particularly in-depth at the time, which leads many to believe that the Hillsborough police were aware of the drug trafficking scheme and perhaps were involved, so they turned a blind eye to what had happened to Dawn. However, there's also a theory that Carol and the cartel were working together, and Dawn's disappearance was a joint effort. Perhaps Carol wanted out of her toxic and unfaithful marriage, and she told the cartel the details of when and where Dawn would be flying to Costa Rica next, and they took the opportunity to kill him. If they had been in communication with one another, this could also explain the will possibly being forged. The new will was created less than a year before Dawn went missing, so perhaps Carol knew of what was coming and changed the will without Dawn's consent, making her the sole beneficiary in the case of a disappearance. With this plan, both Carol and the cartel would get what they want, but Carol wouldn't have to do the actual killing. There is also the information that Carol provided on her blog, which mentions a group called the Helicopter Brothers. She says that they were the Costa Rican version of the mafia and that Dawn was loaning them money. She said he specifically mentioned that he could disappear, and that is why the word disappearance was put into the will. Perhaps this group had something to do with Dawn's death. There is speculation that perhaps Dawn was at the airport that morning to fly to Costa Rica himself, but that someone from this group abducted him while he was in his van, took him in a helicopter, and killed him over the Gulf of Mexico. However, in my research, I could not find any information about who the Helicopter Brothers are. The only article available that could possibly be connected is from insightcrime.org from 2013 that talks about a drug trafficking helicopter organization that was unmasked in Costa Rica. The article says, quote, "Authorities in Costa Rica have five men believed to be part of a transnational criminal group that used helicopters to transport drugs, arms, and money, highlighting the country's inability to deal with the growth of international drug traffickers within its borders. The detention of the men comes after months of investigation into the illicit movement of helicopters in the country, which prosecutors say is being managed and paid for by a Mexican cartel and assisted by members of the Honduran military. The operation over the weekend saw the arrest of three middle-aged brothers, a young accomplice, and a government official who allegedly alerted the group to police operations." End quote. There is also a theory that Don Lewis faked his own death and is still alive and well to this day. Most believe that Don went to live in Costa Rica, probably with his girlfriend that he had there. Don had been telling Carol for quite some time that he wanted to move the business down there where he owned property and the laws surrounding big cats were much more relaxed. Maybe he finally decided to make good on his word. The Hillsborough police visited Costa Rica following his disappearance and claimed that nobody had seen him in months. But some online say that this isn't true and that Don has been spotted over the years. In fact, Don's friend and colleague, Kenny Farr, said that before Don disappeared, he said something to him that struck him as odd. Instead of telling Kenny that he wanted to divorce Carol and was afraid of her as he had been telling others, he said to Kenny, quote, "If I can pull this off, it'll be the slickest thing I've ever done," end quote. Just a few days later, Don went missing. Kenny Farr took this to mean that Don had something planned and knew that something big was about to happen. However, this theory that Don planned his own disappearance and is still alive leaves the question, why did he leave behind all his money? Again, Don's friend and colleague Kenny Farr said that he actually had way more money than people knew about and that he buried gold bars on his property. Perhaps the money Don left in his will was not all of his wealth, and he was able to leave the country with a large sum to his name and possibly also give money to his ex-wife, children, and grandchildren. So where does this case stand now? What really happened to Don Lewis? And what does law enforcement have to say about the case? In April of 2020, after the Tiger King show debuted on Netflix, the Hillsborough Police Department decided to reopen the Don Lewis case. In an interview with Time, Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Cronister said, quote, "It would be foolish if I didn't take advantage of the show's popularity and put the message out that if you think you know something, you should contact the sheriff's office. This is very important to us," end quote. And in an interview with Vulture, he said, quote, "The last thing we did was back in 2010. We met with Don's kids and took samples of their DNA and entered that into a database, figuring if his body was ever recovered, we would be able to garner DNA from it and be able to positively identify him there. He had also been arrested a few times, so we had his fingerprint records and we had his dental records. But back then, we didn't have any type of DNA samples. And then in 2011, we reached out and asked Carol to come in and take a polygraph. And she did decline to take a polygraph. She said that her legal counsel said that it wouldn't prohibit the sheriff's office from ever pursuing criminal charges on her in the future and that there's no benefit or gain for her. So that was the last action we've taken. Since then, it's been quiet. We haven't received any tips or leads and it has truly become a cold case, for a lack of a better term," end quote. Cronister said that since the show came out, they've been getting at least 6 tips a day, but so far none have led to any new evidence. He says there are currently no leads or suspects. However, he does believe that something fishy happened to Don Lewis. In regards to the will left behind, he says, quote, "Who has ever seen a will where there's a provision in it that if I ever disappear or become missing, leave the bulk of my wealth to this person," end quote. However, Cronister has made it clear that Carol Baskin is currently not a person of interest in the case, as they do not have any sufficient evidence against her. He has explained that the rumors of her burying Don under the septic tank is not true, as the septic system did not even exist at the time of his disappearance, and the rumor of him being put through a meat grinder is also false, as there was no meat grinder on the premise at the time. He does, however, believe that Don Lewis was murdered. Sheriff Chronister said, quote, "Do I believe he's been killed and is dead? Yes, I do. Do I know who did it and how he died? That I don't know. And I hope we will get that missing interview, that missing piece of evidence to solve this case," end quote. Chronister has been the fourth sheriff assigned to this case since it happened in 1997 and said, quote, "Nothing would be more gratifying than to be the sheriff to say that after 23 years, my administration is responsible for solving the missing case or homicide of Donald Lewis," end quote. Don's family remained adamant that they believe Carol had something to do with his disappearance. In April of 2020, Don's granddaughter, Tiffany, appeared on the popular app TikTok to talk about the show Tiger King and her grandfather. She said, quote, "First and foremost, I do want to thank the producers for shedding some light on this horrible situation. I haven't heard his voice in over 20 years, and just hearing it was a blessing, so thank you for that. I also want to thank my aunts and grandmother for standing up and talking about the situation. I know how hard it can be because it's still very fresh to my family. So I want to know what you guys think. Do you think she murdered my grandfather, or do you think he ran away with none of his fucking money? If you had $7 million, would you leave it? I sure shit wouldn't. I also want to thank Joe Exotic for trying to do what he tried to do," end quote. As for Carol Baskin herself, she remains adamant that she had nothing to do with her husband's disappearance or death. She said, quote, "When he disappeared, I did everything I could to assist the police. I encouraged them to check out the rumors from Costa Rica, and I separately hired a private investigator," end quote. Although there is no proof that she actually did hire a PI. Carol has also said that she's grateful for the show in a way because it showed the horrible truth behind roadside zoos and the mistreatment of exotic animals in captivity, but that she wishes it focused more on these issues than the ridiculous claims against her. She said, quote, "Don was not easy to live with, and like most couples, we had our moments, but I never threatened him, and I certainly had nothing to do with his disappearance," end quote. I'm recording this episode on June 2nd, 2020, and just yesterday on June 1st, it was announced that Joe Exotic's zoo, the GW Zoo, has at this point been handed over to Carol Baskin. This is in regards to the lawsuit and the $1 million that Joe still owes her. The article that I saw on People.com says that Jeff Lowe, who is the current owner, because Joe Exotic transferred the zoo to Jeff's name, he has 120 days to vacate the premises, and it will then be put into Carol Baskin's name. Okay, well, that's it for today's episode. I feel like with a lot of my topics, we're kind of left with more questions than answers. While I was watching Tiger King, I completely believed that Carol Baskin killed her husband, as I think most of us did. The filmmakers knew exactly what they were doing when they filmed and edited that show, and they wanted to leave the audience believing that Carol was guilty. And it worked. I mean, you can just look at the internet. There are countless memes and videos and things kind of praising Joe Exotic. And, you know, Joe Exotic for president and all these things, but saying that Carol killed her husband. Overnight, there were so many memes and videos out there just basically degrading this woman, calling her that bitch, Carol Baskin, you know, making jokes about her and Don's death. And, you know, I was part of it. I was sharing so many Tiger King memes and things after the show came out. We were all jumping on that bandwagon. And I think, you know, it came out during a very stressful time for most of us. And we wanted something just to distract us. And this show was the perfect distraction. I think that just like with a lot of other things going on in the world right now, the media played the biggest role in this entire story. Yes, Carol Baskin does and did some not great things in her life. Yes, there are very suspicious details to this story. However, there is no evidence that she killed Don. The sheriff himself has said that Carol is not a person of interest in this case because there's no sufficient evidence against her. Like most of you who watch the show, I totally ate up all the information the show presented and, you know, took it at face value. But we have to look beyond what these shows tell us. This was not investigative journalism. It was made for the sheer purpose of entertainment. The filmmakers had their own agenda and biases and spun the information in a way that curated a specific storyline that was going to draw the viewer in. People online are praising Joe Exotic, saying Joe Exotic for president, but he is in jail for hiring someone to kill another human being. And he wanted to kill her for something that he doesn't have any proof of. As a society, we really need to be more mindful of the media that we consume and what we believe as truth. Since I've been working on this episode, I've talked to family and friends about Tiger King. I feel like everyone I know has watched it. And every single person has said that they think Carol Baskin killed her husband. Everyone says, oh, that bitch, Carol Baskin. And, you know, they quote things from the show and stuff. And then when I say that I'm not so sure about the truth now, they don't believe me and they think that I'm crazy for even questioning that Carol might be innocent. And if I wouldn't have decided to do this episode and kind of dive into the information that's out there, I'd be right with all of you saying, you know, 100% no doubt Carol is guilty. It's mind-boggling how powerful the media can be and how quickly we gobble up information just because, you know, it's handed to us in this pretty package with a bow on top, and it makes it so that we don't have to do our own research. We need to be better about thinking for ourselves and doing our own research. I don't know what the truth is. I still don't know. I have no idea where Don Lewis is or what happened, but I know that we definitely weren't given the information needed to form an educated opinion. This kind of reminds me of the whole Making a Murderer show. Everyone after that show was up in arms that Stephen Avery is innocent, but there is so much that that show did not show. It is coming from a biased standpoint, as all media basically is. Carol Baskin's life has been completely changed from all of this, while there's still no concrete evidence that she killed her husband. And who knows, she could be guilty, but we can't, you know, burn people at the stake when they have not been tried and they have not been convicted of something. And I'm really sorry, I'm getting so fired up talking about this. But it's frustrating to see the hold that our media has over all of us. And it's frustrating to know that I'm part of it too. We all are part of it. Obviously, Tiger King isn't the most serious thing in the world, and we obviously have much bigger issues at hand right now. But I think all of us who watched that show and blindly followed the filmmaker's vision need to be better about thinking for ourselves in all aspects of our media consumption. And my episode is just a drop in the bucket for all the information that's out there about Don Lewis's disappearance and Joe Exotic and Carol Baskin. As always, I want you guys to continue to do your own research and think for yourselves. Read some articles, watch some videos. If you want to learn more about this case and get into stuff that I didn't even have time to mention, I would start with the podcast called Over My Dead Body, which is produced by Wondery. They do some great podcasts. And the whole show is focused only on this story and Joe Exotic himself. And it goes into way more depth than I could get into. So check out that podcast, Over My Dead Body, if you want to learn more. Okay, so now that my rant is over, with all the information presented today, what do you guys think really happened to Don Lewis? As I mentioned before, I am still not 100% sure. And even after doing all this research, but I'm leaning towards thinking actually that Carol did not murder Don. I do, however, believe that she knows way more than she's letting on and is admitting. I think Don was involved in a lot of shady business dealings, a lot of illegal things, and I think that those shady business dealings is what got him killed. I think Carol was well aware of how he made his money, and, you know, she went along with it blindly because it funded her lifestyle and it funded her wildlife sanctuary that she always dreamed of having. His money, you know, allowed her to live out her dream. So, of course, she's going to keep her mouth shut. I think that if she came forward with everything she knew, that she could probably be implicated, and she's trying to protect herself, so she's not being honest and she's withholding information. I don't think she's completely innocent by any means, but I really don't think that she's guilty of murder. But I want to know what you guys think, as always. If you watched Tiger King, did my episode change your mind, or did it just solidify the opinion you already have? If you haven't watched Tiger King and this is all new to you, I really want to know what you guys think happened, since you haven't been tainted by that show and you're coming into this, you know, with a clean slate. Since this has been such a big deal in the media and pop culture, I'm really interested to hear all of your guys' feedback. You can find Weird on the Rocks on Facebook and Instagram at Weird on the Rocks Podcast, Twitter at Weird_Rocks, and the website weirdontherocks.weebly.com. Let me know what you guys think. As always, I appreciate all of you who take the time out of your busy lives to listen to me. And I just hope that you're all staying safe and healthy out there and that you're all doing well. And until next time, cheers and stay weird. Thank you.
That was a Titan Cast episode.